You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined by the managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. And Taylor, we are firmly in the new year, and it's already time for winter conditioning for the Texas football team that is underway. We've got all those early enrollees on campus, and I mean, away we go. Seems like just yesterday we were picking up the pieces from the Alamo Bowl, but hey, football season never ends, never ends.
I was gonna say, it almost feels like just yesterday we were preparing for the 2022 season, because that's how quickly I feel like the football season and everything goes in our industry. I mean, we work all year round for it to start, and then it's over, and then it's like, oh, it's right back again. Here we go. But yeah, winter conditioning starting this week, I believe, right, Chip?
Yep.
Yeah. And so all I want to know is if the Texas coaches are going to get like Arch Manning some sort of like security belt to put his student ID in, because allegedly he's lost it twice now since he's been on campus. The jokes are rolling in about him fumbling that a lot. So hopefully that'll improve. But how are you doing, Chip?
Yeah, we need to get him a lanyard or something.
Yeah. A fanny pack, maybe. I think those are cool now. Somehow those are cool, which is, don't even get me started. But yeah, something where it's, or like maybe it's like a magnet that you just put next to your phone and it just automatically secures to it. I don't know.
Yeah. Or maybe people are trying to, you know, pickpocket his ID out of his pocket so that they can say that they have his ID. I don't know, but yeah. Yes, it is. If social media is to be believed, Archibald Manning is having some trouble hanging on to his student ID, but he is not having trouble impressing teammates and coaches, Taylor, with his knowledge already of the playbook. I wrote about this a little bit in the Insider this past week, that, you know, in meetings with AJ Milwee, Manning's already showing some pretty good competence with regard to the offense. And, you know, we already know he's all about the team. He's texting the guys in his recruiting class saying, what are you doing today to get better? Or he was before they got on campus. And now the guy seems to be doing pretty well on the whiteboard with regard to questions about the offense. And that's good news, because you've got to have competition in that room. We talk about the fact that there's no experienced veteran in that room. It's Quinn Ewers, who in my mind was a true freshman in 2022, and Malik Murphy, Charles Wright, and now Arch Manning. So that's great news to hear that Arch Manning, the work ethic, the discipline is there. It's already being witnessed on campus, and that's of course only gonna stimulate fan expectation, but it's really not to do that. It's just to show that this guy is all about business and seems to understand that it is a job. To be the quarterback at Texas is a job. It's not fun. It's not like any other sport. It is a job.
Yeah. And I would say that probably at any, you know, major powerhouse, perennial powerhouse type of Power Five college football program, that's exactly accurate. I mean, when you go back to last season, Chip, every quarterback in that room was a freshman, whether it's, if you want to call him redshirt freshman, I mean, Charles Wright, he was a redshirt freshman. You know, obviously Quinn Ewers was considered that. Quinn Ewers should have been a true freshman, Malik Murphy, a true freshman. I mean, I will say the one thing, if you go back to when Casey Thompson was the starting quarterback at Texas, he was always in the film room, but he didn't develop that characteristic or that tool on his own. He watched Sam Ellinger and how it took Sam Ellinger, how much time he took in the film room to really prepare for games. And he learned from Sam Ellinger. And that's something that not a single quarterback on the Texas roster last season had. They didn't have that role model. And even if you go back to when Quinn Ewers was at Ohio State, I mean, CJ Stroud was a first-time starter too. He was learning on the fly on how to prepare as a collegiate Power Five starting quarterback at a big-time, you know, perennial powerhouse college football program. And so there was, you know, the growing pains was not just on the field that you saw. It was also off the field. It's not surprising though to me, Chip, that Arch Manning has that approach, because look at who he has molded or been able to mold kind of his discipline, his approach to football, everything around to, you know, Super Bowl winners, probably future pro football Hall of Famers. I mean, you name it, you know, and his uncles and Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. And so, and then even going back to Archie Manning too. But yeah, I mean, it's very positive news. And I think it's probably going to help kind of hold accountability a little bit from even some of the guys that are upperclassmen, because there is a younger guy coming in and is already so, you know, involved into the playbook based off what you're reporting. And if you did not see the insider from last Thursday, definitely go back and check it out, because Chip got some really good scoop in there about this. But, you know, in order to play like a pro, you have to prepare like a pro. And I feel like Arch Manning, obviously the bloodlines, everything that he brought to the table, essentially, I think that's going to pay dividends, not just for himself, but also for the quarterback room that is so young too.
Well, and you mentioned his uncles, and I keep going back to Peyton Manning. His freshman year at Tennessee, he was supposed to redshirt behind Jerry Colquitt and Tim Helton. Colquitt goes down in the opener. Helton goes down in game four, and Peyton Manning is thrust into the starting lineup, ends up going 7-1 as a true freshman and earns SEC Freshman of the Year back in 1994. You know, Arch Manning, you're one play away as the backup. If the backup goes down, you're two plays away.
Yeah.
as the third guy. And we don't know how this quarterback derby is going to shape up. Obviously, Quinn Ewers has the experience, but Malik Murphy's healthy. He wants to compete. He's hungry. He's chomping, I've been told. And then, you know, Charles Wright, he put in a ton of work. He was this close to having to play against UTSA. With Hudson Card, you know, having the ankle injury in the Alabama game, he ended up not being on the field, but the sense was that Charles Wright had improved dramatically in his year of learning and being in Steve Sarkisian's system, year and a half, I guess, at that point. But nonetheless, you want every quarterback in that room to be working, you know, as diligently as possible on grasping the offense and what to look for and how to, you know, then take that to the grass, as they say. And once Texas gets out on the grass and is able to do its little modified practices before spring ball, to be able to impress your teammates and know what you're doing and be able to call the plays and execute them, at least what limited plays they might be, installing at that point. So it's going to be fascinating. No doubt, Arch Manning, the headliner in that 2023 recruiting class, but the top five members of that class are on campus right now. And that's probably the most exciting part of winter conditioning, honestly, because you've got Arch Manning, you got Anthony Hill, you've got Cedric Baxter, you got Jonte Cook, you've got Malik Muhammad. And that's exciting because you don't always have that. You don't always have the top members of your class as early enrollees. And those are all guys who could end up being counted on in 2023.
Yeah, for sure. Last year is a prime example of that. You know, Texas signed that amazing offensive line class. The only early enrollee from the 2022 offensive line class was Cole Hudson. Obviously, that paid dividends, I really do think. So I don't think that many people would have expected Cole Hudson, of all of the offensive line talent that Texas signed, that he was going to be a guy that essentially secured a starting role going into fall camp, like at the early parts of it. The five stars, you know, Calvin Banks, Devin or DJ Campbell, you know, they did not enroll until May. And it was at least they were good enough talents that Calvin Banks obviously started and Devin Campbell saw the field a lot too. But it's definitely a very positive sign if you can get the top signees, those ringleaders, those bell cows of your recruiting class on campus. Because the other thing, in addition to them just getting the reps in, you know, winter conditioning, being in a college strength and conditioning program, going through spring ball, going through a full semester of school, all of that's really beneficial. The other thing that I think that a lot of people don't talk about, though, Chip, with getting the top guys in the recruiting class on campus as early enrollees, is they're going to learn what the culture is, what the expectation is over the next several months. And by the time that the rest of their class comes in that have always been kind of going to those guys as the ringleaders, the bell cows of the class, they're going to be able to pass that message along, not even just when they enroll, but like probably throughout the next several months, because they have a different relationship with their own recruiting class, their signing class too. And that's huge. You know, when an Arch Manning, I mean, let's be honest, Texas signed the nation's number three signing class in 2023. And it didn't happen really until Arch Manning committed. And then all of these players followed him. All of these recruits wanted to play with him. Some of the best players want to play with the best quarterback, whether they're on offense or defense. And so obviously the way that the Texas recruiting cycle, I think in 2023 kind of played out, is that people are going to follow Arch Manning. Arch Manning's on campus right now. He's learning what the expectation is going to be, how you have to go through these offseason months, how you have to prepare like a pro. And in turn, I think that, you know, one thing to consider is he's going to pass that along to those same guys that may not be on campus right now, but that did follow him in signing with Texas. So I think that's something, you know, kind of a back doorway of or behind the scenes, I guess, type of thing that a lot of people aren't really talking about. You know, people talk about early enrollees getting the experience. I think this is a good thing that Texas has those guys in this class so that they can, you know, figure out how to prepare that way and pass it along to the incoming guys that come in May and June.
Yeah. And we mentioned Cole Hudson being the only early enrollee of the offensive lineman in the 2022 class. We also learned this past week that guy played with a torn labrum in his shoulder the entire season, the entire offseason. He injured that shoulder in high school, but he didn't want to have surgery because he was an early enrollee and he wanted to get right into the mix. And he performed well enough in the spring to get into the two deep. And then, with the blessing of the Texas medical staff, put off the surgery until the end of the 2022 football season. Just had that surgery actually a week ago. So kudos to Cole Hudson. What a tough kid. I mean, that's not you know, it's not an easy injury. He had a harness on underneath his pads and played through it and started every game at right guard. So, that tells you right there what a tough kid that is. And then, Connor Robertson, another freshman offensive lineman who is basically the backup center to Jake Majors. He was listed as the backup center in the Alamo Bowl, had wrist surgery after the season, sustained that injury during the season, you know, fought through it, practiced through it, and then had the surgery after the season. So two young, tough guys on that offensive line who have big futures at Texas. They join Jonathan Brooks, the running back, as you reported, who had hernia surgery right after the Alamo Bowl. So Connor Robertson should be back for some or all of spring football. Cole Hudson will miss spring football. He'll be out until May, but obviously he started 13 games. The coaches feel really good about where he is. And this spring, it will give DJ Campbell, the number one ranked interior offensive lineman in that 2022 class, number one ranked interior lineman in the nation, a chance to get his confidence up and see what he can do. And as well as Nato Umezulu. Easy for me to say. I said I was just going to call him Nato. So, and we mentioned last week that Christian Jones is coming back. So there should be some, he can also play guard, and we'll see. That will depend on how far along Cameron Williams, the 6'7", 350-60 pound right tackle in that 2022 freshman class, recruiting class, how he's progressing. So I think that gets us through our injury update, Taylor. It is interesting. There's been rumbling that the Big 12 will release the 2023 football schedule any day. And of course, this is going to be the schedule with Cincinnati, Houston, BYU, Central Florida, and Texas and Oklahoma for what is likely to be the last year of Texas and OU in the Big 12. And there's also rumbling that that this schedule is being held up because Oklahoma and Texas want to know what their exit deal is before the schedule comes out. Now, we'll see how if that's what's holding up the schedule. We may not get the schedule until next August. No, I'm kidding. But that's interesting. And this is such a weird, tenuous relationship right now that Texas and OU have with the Big 12 that I'd believe just about anything when it comes to that possibly holding up the release of the 2023 Big 12 schedule, Taylor. But everyone wants to know who's going to get to play Texas and OU in what could be their final season in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say this, Chip, if the schedule is anywhere close to some of the officiating that Texas and Oklahoma had to go through from Big 12 officials in 2022, I'm going to go on a limb and say Texas fans, OU fans, expect the worst possible schedule out there, honestly. Just because, I mean, it's almost like it's, I feel for Brett Yormark. Yormark, is that?
Brett Yormark.
Okay. I was like, I just butchered it. Okay. That's right. So I feel for him a little bit because he took over a job in one of the most tumultuous times, I think, in the Big 12 conference, aside from the 2010, you know, realignment stuff where they were essentially about to be disbanded, you know, as a conference. And I feel for him a little bit. However, it's hard for me not to watch this fiasco, and I'm going to call it that intentionally, go down, because it's like, man, for the first time, the Big 12 actually made it to the college football playoff national championship game. It was a team that's staying in the league that actually made it there. They get embarrassed, and then it's like, oh, let's just continue to embarrass ourselves in the scheduling fiasco, because now it's almost like a joke, right? I mean, like, it's like, really, you're really going to hold this up because you're trying to hold Texas and OU hostage right now in a conference when you know they're moving on and you're already adding other schools to it to where you're blowing up the schedule regardless, and you have no answer to it. It's just kind of like, this is so Big 12, it like hurts a little bit.
Yeah, you're watching the breakup.
Yes.
Like, you're in the living room watching this
divorce court or something, right? Yeah.
You're literally sitting there watching it. And, you know, it's been fascinating because we've had all kinds of interesting little nuggets that have popped up. Does anyone remember a year ago, like Kirby Hocutt in Texas Tech basically saying that, you know, Texas has agreed to play us for like the next 20 years when that is not the case. And Texas Tech has been one of the most outspoken and sort of
crybabies.
I mean, yeah.
Like, sorry,
for lack of a better word.
Yeah, it's just the reality.
And so, you know, Texas, by the way, has not agreed to play Texas Tech for the next 20 years. If Texas had its way, they wouldn't be playing any of the former Big 12 schools. You know, they've got really good marquee non-conference games coming up against Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, you name it. And so, anyway, I wrote about this in the Insider as well, that's another possible way of helping to pay off the Big 12 and in terms of exit fees would be to play either one Big 12 team for 4 years or two Big 12 teams, you know, a home and home over the span of 4 years, you know, after Texas and OU move on to the SEC. That has not been agreed upon by Texas and OU either. So it is interesting. It's tenuous, but we might be closer to the exit parameters than anyone expected, in part because, and Brett Yormark deserves credit for this, he's already, you know, negotiated the Big 12's next media rights deal, and it means $4 million more per school, even without Texas and OU. So Texas and OU are sitting there saying, okay, you've been made whole. Mm-hmm. You're not going broke by us and OU leaving for the SEC. You just inked a deal that says, you know, each school is going to make $4 million more per year than when we were in the league. So right. Sayonara. Now, they do still have to figure out, and I think Texas officials want to know who agreed to this. When they redid the bylaws in 2012, they put in a 99-year, you know, agreement. And if you leave, you got to give 18 months notice and surrender 2 years of revenue. And Texas is like, no, we're not doing that. And OU's the same, you know, and, you know, no one pays full price to leave. You all have been made whole. You're going to be happier without us. So let's just move on. And those are sort of the little sticking points right now. But it is conceivable that we could get the exit deal parameters quickly. I mean, it's a work in progress. Ever since the Big 12 negotiated its new media rights deal for life without Texas and OU, Texas and OU have said, okay, let's get on with it. And I think Brett Yormark is open-minded to that, much more so than Bob Bowlesby was. So there you have it, Taylor.
Yeah. So one thing I'm curious, Chip, from, if you look at Texas' future schedule for their non-conference games coming up, as you had mentioned, obviously at Alabama 2023, but then, you know, 2024, they're playing at home against Michigan, 2025 at Ohio State, 2026 at home versus Ohio State, 2027 at Michigan. Those are obviously some major, major type of games that they have scheduled when Texas is going to the SEC and they're probably going to be playing some of those other major, major games. Do you think that there's going to be a situation to come about where Texas renegotiates some of their non-conference set lineups for the next at least like 5 years once they do join the SEC?
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, you're a Michigan guy. You're a Big Ten guy, of course.
Well, those are big time helmet games.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure.
Those are iconic programs. Those are the top five. They're in the top five all-time winningest programs in college football. Those teams need to play each other. We saw that in 2005 when Texas had to go to Ohio State in what was basically an elimination game, for the national championship. And it happened in September, and it was a fantastic game. I can still remember every play of that game. It was so incredible.
And then they played Michigan, obviously, in the Rose Bowl, leading up to that 2005.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I think, I don't know that Texas and OU will agree to play a Big 12 team or two Big 12 teams over the span of 4 years once they leave. And that's part of this, talk at the table right now. And if it does happen, I'm fascinated to see the up yours move would be for Texas to play Houston. Mm-hmm. And not play Baylor or TCU or Texas Tech. They would go to Houston, huge recruiting territory where Texas has scheduled games in the past against Rice and against Houston, and play the Cougs. That would be the sorry kids. Sorry about all that rancor you threw at the legislature when we announced. When we were going to the SEC
in front of the freaking legislature. Yeah,
you dragged us into a committee hearing and tried to embarrass us and talked about our crappy record against TCU. Well, we're going to go play UH for, the next 4 years, and y'all can watch us on TV.
Yeah. And what about the Bedlam series? I mean, that's the one that I hope.
Yeah. Now that one.
Right. Yeah.
That would be cool.
You hope it does. Yes, that would be cool. I mean, it's just like it's some Texas fans and A&M fans, they can sit there and say all they want that they don't want to play each other and all of this. But college football was better when Texas and Texas A&M, when those in-state type rivalries play each other. It's just, it's better for the sport. It's better for the fans. It's better for pretty much every single, person involved, except if you're on the losing side, it may impact some of your recruiting, players that you're going after and stuff. But I hope Oklahoma State would continue. Have you heard anything about that?
No, but it would be cool. And I hope, I agree with you. I hope that if that holdover game against the Big 12 survives or becomes part of this exit agreement, that it would be Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Because when you have a rivalry game with a name,
yeah,
like Bedlam, and OU certainly has enjoyed the better end of that deal. That's the one mystery when it comes to Mike Gundy that I just can't figure out. He's like 3-15 against OU as the head coach at Oklahoma State. It's just crazy. But that would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That's the one I hope that they can come to some sort of agreement with. And it would be really funny if Texas decided to just play U of H, as long as they don't decide to play BYU. BYU is that one team where I'm like, Texas, just like BYU and Maryland, to me, Texas football never needs to schedule. If they can avoid it, don't schedule it, because my goodness, we watched the beginning of the end of Mac Brown's career at Texas, literally in Provo, Utah.
And literally, you know, the end of Manny Diaz's time at Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget. Chip was the one that asked Mac. He asked that hard question that everybody wanted to know, but nobody really wanted to answer. And Chip's really good. I will give Chip a lot of credit for this. He's really good at having, you know, stepping up and asking those questions. But I will never, ever, ever forget Mac Brown's response when you asked if Manny Diaz will be the defensive coordinator for next, I think it was, they were playing Ole Miss the following week or something. And all he sat there was like, I don't know.
I got to watch the film.
Yeah, the film. Yeah. But it was like, it was a 10-second answer and that's all he said. And it was just like, okay, so we got to start preparing Manny Diaz getting fired from Texas stories, because it was all.
Well, I'll never forget Major Applewhite's glare at me. He was the offensive coordinator at the time. And he, when I asked the question, he looked like, and then he heard Mac's answer and was like,
yeah.
I mean, because Mac didn't say, of course he's going to be the.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, Mac was the king of coach speak, right? Like,
right. Right. And then before noon the next day, Manny was on the streets and Greg Robinson was in.
Speaking of Greg Robinson, if you did not watch the interview podcast with Derek Johnson, definitely go back and, God rest his soul, Greg Robinson. But Derek Johnson talked a lot about him and his impact on his career as he's going into the College Football Hall of Fame in the 2023 class. If you missed that episode of the Flagship Podcast, go back after we're done here and listen to it, because that was a really good interview that Chip did with Derek Johnson.
Yeah, Derek.
Sorry, not to change it, but yeah.
No, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned it, because Derek Johnson is such a life force. He's such a positive, forward thinking guy, and he really opened up about the learning process that he experienced at Texas, how he became a better player, even though he was already, you know, a five-star recruit, and also his, what he learned in the NFL from adversity and new coaches. And then of course, what, his favorite memories from Texas and his records at Texas, and his thoughts on Anthony Hill and advice for all those four linebackers coming in the 2023 class. So yeah, definitely check that out. You know where to go. Horns247.com and or the Horns247 YouTube channel.
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you get your podcast. Yeah, definitely check it out.
Feel free to give us a 5-star rating if if you're feeling frisky, because our bosses always appreciate that.
Yes.
All right, Taylor, you ready? Well, I guess we should mention basketball, since what a week for Texas basketball. My heavens, they were down 18 at home to TCU, came back and won the game, and then down 12 to Texas Tech over the weekend, came back, won that game, and Serge Ibari Rice, whose shot fake is already legendary, was named the Big 12 newcomer of the week for averaging 15 points in those two games. And all of his scoring came in the second half when the Longhorns needed it most. This guy is phenomenal at just making plays when Texas needs him most. And it's not just scoring, it's offensive rebounds, it's defensive rebounds, it's assists, it's making free throws when he's fouled late in games. And man, what I said it from the beginning, Taylor, I said, this guy's going to be on the floor late in games because he has a sixth sense about what his team needs and how to get, you know, be around the ball, and whether it's making a defensive stop or a drive to the basket or hitting a three-pointer. It's just been fun to watch. And Marcus Carr obviously has been fantastic. All at a time when Tyrese Hunter, their star transfer guard from Iowa State and the team's second leading scorer, the Big 12 freshman of the year last year at Iowa State, has been going through a really tough shooting slump that coincides, you know, the last nine games since Chris Beard was suspended and ultimately fired. And that's understandable. My goodness. We talked about these players having their worlds turned upside down. And we talked about how Tyrese Hunter left a winning program, a program he turned around at Iowa State. They were 2-22. And then he comes in with new coach TJ Otzelberger, and Hunter helps take them to the Sweet 16 in one of the greatest turnarounds in college basketball history. So it was a big decision for Tyrese Hunter to leave Iowa State to come to Texas. And he did it because of Chris Beard. And then all of a sudden Chris Beard's not here. So kudos to the Texas basketball team, Rodney Terry, this coaching staff, which now includes Chris Ogden. He's moved from managing director back into a coaching role because of Chris Beard's dismissal. And this team is showing unbelievable fight and tenacity late in games. They can't live like this, Taylor, forever, yeah. But it was an impressive week coming back from those big deficits.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you mentioned Tyrese Hunter. I mean, you have to feel, as you mentioned, like you feel for the type of guys like him, but you know, he's only scored 11 points in the last three games total. He did not score a single point against Texas Tech. I mean, that's a slump. It might be too soon to make the comment, but if you're a Cowboys fan, I mean, he's going through the Mar situation, the kicker at the Cowboys, but you know, Texas is winning. And so you hope that it's a short type of slump. You hope that he can kind of rebound, get mentally back into it, but it's hard. I mean, these are still young, you know, adults. I know they're not kids, but they're still young adults. And when you lose your leader, you lose the mentor, you lose the type of father figure, even a lot of times that these guys have in coaches, it can really take a toll on them. So, I mean, kudos to Texas to kind of overcome this adversity, but you're right. You can't keep putting yourself in this situation. There's got to be something, you know, that clicks eventually. And you hope if you're a Texas fan, it happens sooner rather than later.
Yeah. It's as I said before, none of these guys asked for this.
No.
And they're having to, it's all been thrown in their lap, and now they're having to figure it out in unbelievable circumstances. And kudos to this Texas basketball team, which went up in the rankings to number 7 this week. And, you know, a tough week, obviously, with road trips to Iowa State and West Virginia back to back. So Texas cannot start off in a hole against those teams, or they'll come back with a couple L's. So,
yeah. And kudos to Rodney Terry, too. He also did not sign up to be in this situation. I mean,
gave up a head coaching job.
Yeah. He gave up a head coaching job to be an assistant coach at Texas. And people may be looking at it like, oh, he's going to try to take the most of this opportunity. I hope he does. I hope they continue to win, and that, you know, if Texas decides to hire a new coach, that he gets another head coaching opportunity at a bigger school than where he came from. But I mean, he didn't ask for this. This is not something that he was hired at Texas expecting to happen. It's not like Chris Beard was on the hot seat or something like that. It was the absolute opposite. And so, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due. And I think Rodney Terry deserves a lot of credit too.
Yeah. All right. You ready for some love it or leave it?
I am. Before we get to love it or leave it, we're going to take a very, very quick break, but stay tuned. We have more Texas football talk and a little bit of basketball talk coming up as Texas football enters their winter conditioning offseason. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chip, you ready for my first love it or leave it?
I'm ready.
All right. Love it or leave it. It will be impossible to keep fans' expectations, for Arch Manning in perspective.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to love this. Fan, as our friend Sean Adams always used to point out, fan is short for fanatic, and people are fanatic about Arch Manning. I mean, why not? He's, you know, top recruit in the 2023 class. He's a Manning, for crying out loud.
And he plays
quarterback. So, the fact that, you know, Quinn Ewers struggled down the stretch of the 2022 season only adds to that fire. And even though I think Quinn Ewers played better and benefited from the 15 bowl practices and will continue to get better.
Yes.
Look, having a guy like Arch Manning waiting in the wings is just going to have the fans all kinds of lathered up. So yeah, I'm going to love this, Taylor. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it. I always like to joke that the best player on Texas football roster is always the quarterback that is not on the field in fans' minds, because that is exactly how it goes. It's, you know, one incompletion. It's like, oh my gosh, why Quinn doesn't have it? Let's go to Arch Manning. I already can literally probably type out comments that I know are going to happen if Arch Manning, assuming, you know, Quinn Ewers starts next season and Arch Manning is on the bench. We know how this is going to play out. It happens every single year, especially even if there's a, you know, a new starter at quarterback. It just, I remember people wanted Casey Thompson when Sam Ehlinger in 2020, even though he played through an injury the whole time. It's like, it just is always literally the best player, according to Texas fans, is the backup quarterback that's not on the field and not seeing the field. So yeah, I'm going to love this. I will say, Chip, I'm going to call you out a little bit on it. I don't know if your comments about Peyton Manning going 7-1 as a true freshman when he wasn't supposed to be a starter is going to, you know, calm any of those expectations. It may kind of provide, you may be kind of like tinkering little like sprinkles of gas on that fire.
Well, the only reason, as you said, I was sprinkling gas on that fire is because
sprinkles.
I'm sure that over Thanksgiving dinner or at some point in the last year, Arch and Peyton have, you know, sort of reminisced about Uncle Peyton's time in college. And oh, by the way, here's how my freshman year went. I was just trying to inform the listeners that, look, this is something that Arch is probably aware of. I'm just saying.
I'm just messing with you. No, I know you're not trying to rile it up, because I'll tell y'all, on those days when the quarterback's not doing well, sometimes trying to deal with some fans can be like, I would rather chug that gasoline instead of pouring it on the fire here. But no, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to leave that one. You know, but I would encourage Texas fans to keep your expectations in check. I mean, look back at, even, you know, Vince Young, like he was benched as a, in 2004, right? When
the 2003, oh yeah, against Texas Tech.
Yeah, against, yeah, for, yeah, I mean.
For Chance Mock.
Yeah, for Chance Mock. I mean, not just because a guy's a five-star, highly touted recruit coming in doesn't mean that they're going to be a day one All-American and a Heisman, you know, contender. I mean, shoot, there's a reason why there's only a handful of redshirt freshmen that have won the Heisman Trophy. There's not a single one that's a true freshman quarterback that has won the Heisman Trophy. That's not just a coincidence. That's just because sometimes it takes time to develop. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to leave that one too.
Yeah. How about that? How about, you know, when Steve Sarkisian's reluctant to pull his starter, think back to Mack Brown pulling Vince Young in that Texas Tech game and putting in Chance Mock. I remember going, oh, good Lord, this this is either going to end in an incredible, you know, hero story for Chance Mock and everything's going to blow over, or this could just be a shipwreck if Mock comes in and does, you know, worse than VY. Fortunately, Chance Mock, kudos to Chance. He's a listener of the flagship podcast, came in and did what Chance Mock does.
Yeah.
He won the game.
Exactly.
All right.
That's all he needed to do. Yeah. But Chance probably be the first one to tell you that, oh yeah, Vince should have started the majority of the games that year. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
we both used to work with Chance. Yeah. In radio.
Chance, like, yeah. Chance got benched while having 11 touchdown passes and two interceptions, three games into this, the 2003 season. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He just had Superman on, on his team.
Yeah. One of the best quarterbacks in college football history. Yeah. So, all right.
Okay. Love it or leave it. Number two.
Second one, love it or leave it. When the Big 12 finally releases the 2023 football schedule, Texas will have to play at BYU, Cincinnati, and West Virginia, which would be the furthest road trips essentially for the 2023 season.
I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine the Big 12 would give Texas all of those road trips.
You can't.
Man, they wouldn't do that, would they? Would they? I'm going to leave this, Taylor. They can't do that, right? They can't give Texas all the most remote road trips in a single season, right? What about you?
So you may know better. They can technically, right?
Well, they can.
Yeah, they can essentially change everything from pre-14 team Big 12. So Texas may have to play at K-State or at Kansas too. I mean, they can technically do that. And at this point, there's nothing that the Big 12 has done that makes me think that they are not going to do that. I think that they are scorched earth. It's like, as you had said earlier, it's a great, you know, comparison. It's like we're watching a breakup. We're almost watching a divorce. And if one spouse feels like they were slighted or disrespected, or they're out to get you, they're going to do whatever they can to get you. So I'm going to love it, honestly. And I would not be surprised if, assuming this is allowed, and I'm not sure if there's some clause or anything in there, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to play at K-State again, too. I think, and probably at Texas Tech, too. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. So, yeah, I'm going to. Well, how many road games can they have? Conference Five. Ones. Five? I wouldn't be surprised if they have to play
That's at the max.
Texas Tech.
Usually it's four.
Okay.
Texas has their neutral site game.
Yeah.
With OU.
If they can play five true road games, I wouldn't be surprised if it's BYU, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Texas Tech, maybe even Oklahoma State, actually. Like the games that they lost on the road last year wouldn't surprise me. Who knows?
Remember, if the Big 12 is trying to get them to play a Big 12 team or two over a four-year span, they got to be somewhat accommodating, right?
You would think, but are people that go through divorces accommodating to
people the lose person their minds.
They feel? Yeah, exactly. And I hope Brett Yormark puts all of the past drama from, you know, prior to him taking over as Big 12 commissioner for Bob Bowlesby. I hope he takes that aside, and I hope he doesn't just let the presidents of these other schools kind of dictate how this goes. But until I see it, it's going to be very hard for me to say that the Big 12 is going to do any sort of scheduling favors for either Texas or OU, but probably Texas first, since Texas seemed to kind of be the ringleader and bringing OU along with them to the SEC, and Texas is in a position where they could technically pay it out right now, where OU's not. So I don't know. There's no reason for me, just like if somebody was going through a divorce, there would be no reason for me to think that the ex-spouse is going to do you any favors. So just prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And that's kind of what I think Texas and Oklahoma are in right now.
Okay. All right. Love it or leave it. Number three.
Final one, love it or leave it. Tyrese Hunter's shooting slump is directly tied to Chris Beard being suspended and then fired as Texas head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we're not getting to talk to Tyrese Hunter right now because he's not being brought in to the post-game press conferences. And we were getting no players until last week, until it finally became official that Chris Beard was being let go. But I'm going to love this. And I don't love it for Tyrese Hunter because he's a kid from Racine, Wisconsin, who, you know, probably could drive home from, Ames, Iowa occasionally. Going to Texas is a world away from Racine, Wisconsin, but he came for Chris Beard. He came because Chris Beard sold him on Texas being a national championship contender. And they were absolutely looking like that early in the season with wins over, you know, Gonzaga and Creighton. Now I get it. Those teams have suffered some losses here. And maybe those wins don't look as good as they were, but I mean, Texas is still number seven and,
right,
you know, playing, really some really good basketball. They have two Big 12 road wins going into the Iowa State game on Tuesday night. So, he was playing well for the first eight games while Beard was on the sideline, and the slump is the last nine games. And those are the nine games that Chris Beard has not been on the sideline. So, and he's out there doing, he's trying to impact the game in other ways, but his scoring has fallen off a cliff and his minutes are starting to go down. And that's not good because he's a tough-minded kid. He makes free throws and he's a guy they need on the floor late in close games. And right now he's not always on the floor late in close games. And so, Ronnie Terry said, you just got to work through it. And he said, I'm absolutely confident that Tyrese Hunter will get back in his groove. So I'm going to love this, Taylor. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it too. And I know that, you know, in hearing that Tyrese Hunter came to Texas for Chris Beards, there may be some Texas fans out there that say you commit to a school and not to a coach. And I get that that's like an old adage back in the day of recruiting. It's totally different now. I mean, it really is. And whether you want to accept it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it is the reality of the situation. These players commit to coaches and the coaches and staff that they think that they are going to play under and play for. And, you know, that's why even looking at Texas football, like how many position players, you know, left or transferred elsewhere, even when Tom Herman was the head coach after he got rid of seven, eight coaches of his staff. That's not a coincidence. It's because they committed to the coaches that they thought that they were going to play for. And again, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to, you know, be accepting of it and like, oh, that's okay. I understand like you should commit to a school, but it's just not how it works. Especially I feel like in the current environment of college athletics, with it being so easy to transfer places and stuff, they're transferring to play for a coach and a program that they believe in, that they think is going to help not only better develop them, but potentially give them a better chance of playing for a championship. So 100%, I am going to love this and say it is a direct, kind of result of Chris Beard and his situation being fired at Texas. And I just hope for, you know, I don't cover basketball as intently as say like Chip and Jeff Howe do at Horns 24/7. It's still how athletes are. I've covered enough athletes in my life to know I've been around collegiate athletes. I've been around pro athletes in my own family. Even, you know, there are a lot of external factors that do end up impacting the performance on the field. And something like this, because I'm used to football and baseball, but on their playing field, and this 100%, it doesn't seem coincidental at all. So I hope for Tyrese Hunter's sake that he can kind of refocus and focus on the task at hand, which is, you know, trying to, you know, continue to play as well as he was before Chris Beard was let go. So yeah, I'm going to sadly, unfortunately, love it, but hope it changes for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, we appreciate you tuning into this episode of the Flagship Podcast. And we will, you know, obviously have much more in our next episode, in the next episode, in the next episode. So just bookmark us, make us a favorite. The 5-star rating, you know, while we're mentioning those kinds of things.
And, like the YouTube channel too. Subscribe, hit the bell, notifications. We actually will, little sneak peek, we will be adding some more video content to our YouTube channel in the next several months. We are getting some assistance from an intern actually that has a very good resume that is a student at the University of Texas. I won't release his name yet because I don't think he's published anything yet, but there's going to be a lot more videos coming to the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel too. So definitely want to hit the bell, subscribe, and get those notifications when new video products come out.
Very exciting. Big things are happening here at the Flagship Podcast. If you couldn't tell that already, you know what I mean? All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.